Good morning. Afreilich and Chanukah. We begin today's daf Lamed Vav and Maseches Bava Kama. We begin by thanking our sponsors. We begin our sponsorships by dedicating all of our limudim of Maseches Bava Kama in the memory of Master Sergeant Eliyahu Michal Harush, Hashem Yom Damai, who was one of the first officers killed by Hamas while heroically defending and protecting Am Yisrael. And we also thank our sponsors, Josh and Becker Friedman, for sponsoring all the shiur of the month of Kislev in honor of the yard site of Josh's father, Yisrael, Yehuda ben Rav Chaim Rafal. His yard site was on the first day of Kislev, his neshama should have an aliyah, as well as in the schus of the neshamas of all those who were niftar on October 7th in the terrorist attack in Israel, and for a safe return of all the chayalim and hostages in Gaza, and for a full and complete refuah shleima to all those injured in the attacks. We also thank Sammy Malka Esterson for sponsoring all the shiur of the month of Kislev in memory of their parents, Hinda Esterson, Hinda Bas Hedach Ephraim, Ludwig Stiefel, and Yitzchak Leib Ben Aaron Akoin and Sarah Stiefel, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch Avram. We also thank the Pepper family sponsoring all the Shumer of the month in memory of their brother and uncle Yosef Pepper, Yosef David Ben Yaakov. We also thank Josh and Malki Rosenblum for sponsoring Daf Yomi this morning in commemoration of the yard site of Josh's grandfather, Moshe Herschel Ben Chaim Ben Zion. The Neshama should have an Aliyah and the family should have a Nechama. We were discussing a case yesterday where there was a lack of clarity in terms of which animal caused the damage. There was a lot of circumstantial evidence in terms of what happened, but in terms of positively proving what happened, that was something which became very difficult. So at one point in the Mishnah, we said that if two animals belonged to the same person, and it became absolutely clear that one of those animals caused damage, we just don't know which one it is. The halacha is shneim chayavim. Both animals are responsible for the damage that happened to that animal. So we mentioned yesterday, we have to come back to what this means. What does it mean that both animals are chayav? On a basic level, what this means is, the assumption is we're talking about a shartam, an animal that is a tame animal, and therefore only pays chati nezek. But in addition to only paying for half the damage, it also will never pay for damage that exceeds its value. So what does shneim chayavim mean? That would seemingly mean that in as much as the animal is here, you can pay for it. If one of the animals gets lost, you can collect from the other animal. Like this, the idea is that both animals are there to ultimately be responsible for the damage, and he can collect from either one that was there. So let's start the Gemara with that. Hayu shneim shalish echad, shneim chiyavim. We're starting lamed vav, amud aleph, two lines from the top, the last word. Hayu shneim shalish echad, if both animals that were involved in the scuffle belonged to one person, then shneim chiyavim, both of them are responsible for the damage. Amar le rava mi parzika l'rav Ashi. Rava mi parzika told Rav Ashi. Shmamina, we learn from this, it seems, that shvarim tamin shehiziku, if you have two animals that are tam, they are tame animals, that did not yet establish themselves as wild animals, ratzimizegove, you could just collect from whichever one you want. And again, the advantage would be that if one of them is worth more, then you have a higher value system to collect from. The Gemara says, no, you don't have any raya from there, because hachav amayaskinan, you made a mistake. You thought that our Mishnah was talking about animals that are tam. No, we're talking about the muadim. Animals that have already established themselves as being dangerous, wild animals, and therefore, there's no cap on how much they're going to pay. They'll pay as much as the damage is. The Gemara says, hold on a second. Ibn Muadim, if it's true that the two animals that were involved in the scuffle were a Muad, Ema Seifa. Let's continue reading the Mishnah. Haya Echad Gadol, V'Echad Katan. One of the animals involved in the scuffle was big, one was small, which means one was worth more, one was worth less. Then there's going to be a fight that breaks out. Hanizik Omer Gadol Hizik. The one who got damaged is going to say it was the large animal that damaged. Why does he say that? Because he wants to have a higher value to collect from. Mamazik Omer, and the Mazik, the one whose animal's damaged, he responds and says, Loki, not so. Ella katan hizik. Rather, it was a smaller animal that caused the damage. Motz alacha, motz michavero, alavaraya, the nizik who wants to collect more money is going to have to prove that it was the larger animal. Now the Gemara says, ibn muadim, if it's true that our Mishnah is talking about a muad, the muad means you could collect from the owner's bank account. It doesn't mean, it has nothing to do with the size or the value of the animal. Ibn muadim, my nafkale mine. What's the difference? Which animal caused the damage? It's your animal. It's going to be your bank account that's responsible to pay for it. As long as you got the money in the bank account, I don't care what size the animal was. Self, demay tura ma'alya b'yishlume. Bottom line is, he's going to have to pay the full value of the animal that got damaged. Amar lei, so he said, okay, so we have to understand that this Mishnah is going to have to divide. Seif of a tamin, the end of the Mishnah is talking about a case where the animals that damaged were a tam. Bereish b'muadin, and the beginning is talking about a muad. We don't like when something like that happens. So Amar lei, Rav Acha, Sabal, Rav Ashi, Ibn Muadim Chayavim. In other words, he doesn't even like splitting the Mishnah, but he says, if we're talking about Muadim, the language is just off. Chayavim? Why does it say Shnehem Chayavim? Both of the animals are responsible for the damage. The animals are not responsible for any damage. It's an animal. Animals don't have to show up and pay for anything. Generally speaking, when we say both animals are Chayiv, what that means is, the animals are meshubad. In other words, these animals are dedicated in a lien to this particular financial obligation here. But if you're talking about a muad, it shouldn't say chayavim. It shouldn't say that they're responsible. Chayav gavr mi ba'ilei. It should say that the owner is responsible. Vasu, my shneihem. What does it mean, shneihem? Both of them. There's no two. It has nothing to do with the two animals. It has to do with the owner. El Liol Longuar says, rather, we're talking about tamen. The entire Mishnah is talking about Tamin. And the reason why our Mishnah says Shneim Chayavim is because we're following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva to Omar Shutvinin. We're going to get into this in a couple minutes in the next parak, but the general idea over here is that when a Shar Tam, in other words, a domesticated animal that is assumed to be tame and not to be an animal that's going to cause damage, when it does cause damage and now it owes, and now its damage caused the owner to be responsible for half the damage, there are two ways of viewing what now happens to this animal. Rabbi Akiva's view is that immediately upon that damage, the nizik, the owner of the animal that got damaged, becomes a partner in the ownership of the animal that damaged. In other words, animal A gores and kills animal B. The owner of animal B now takes partial ownership of animal A. Now he shares ownership with the first owner. Why? Because we know that halacha is he gets paid chatzi nezek. Where does he get paid chatzi nezek from? From the value of the animal that caused the damage. So essentially we're saying that if the animals are of the same value, both of them are worth 200. Now, animal A worth 200 kills animal B worth 200. Now, owner of animal B gets 100 from the value of animal A. That means, according to Rabbi Akiva, both of these people, owner of animal B and owner of animal A, now are partners in the ownership of animal A. The only way to become a partner with something is if they're both there. He can't push them off to the other one. Have a less than the tarvayu. If one animal is not here, matzi amrle zil aisi raya dehaytura azkach vashalim lach. What he says is, if both animals are here, then you could be a partner in the ownership of both animals. But if both animals are not here, then what happens is shar between animal one and animal two, animal three got damaged. Now, we don't know if it was animal 1 who caused the damage or animal 2 who caused the damage. If both animals are here, then everything is fine. It makes no difference. The owner of those two animals will have to pay out. If one of them is gone, then the owner of the two animals says to the owner of the animal that got damaged, listen, when my animal damaged your animal, you became a partial owner of that animal. But guess what? After it damaged your animal, it ran away. I can't find it. That animal is gone. We're partners in the animal that's gone. The animal that's still here is the animal that it didn't cause you any damage. So according to Rabbi Akiva, when it says Shneim Chayavin, it's actually an advantage for the Mazik, for the one who caused damage. Because if one of them runs away, you can say, listen, the two of us are partners in the animal that ran away. I'm sorry, I can't help you. So Shneim Chayavin, while it sounds like in the Mishnah, it's really advantageous to the Nizik. The way we're understanding it now, it's advantageous to the Mazik if one of them gets lost. Hadron Allah Haminiach. Mirz Hashem, we should be zochet to finish the entire Masechet together. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehyeh Bedvaro. Damage. Shor Shanogach Arba V'Chamisha Shavarim. Here we have an animal that damaged, it gored four or five animals. It doesn't have to be four or five, it's just to say it damaged a number of times. Now we have to get something out of the way over here to explain something before we get into this Mishnah. What's a shor tam? A shor tam is an animal that gored less than three times. Once it gores more than three times, it is established as a muad. This animal has already picked up a bad habit of being an animal that's constantly causing problems. When the parak starts off with shor shenagach arba v'chamisha shvarim, that there's a shor that caused, this bull caused damage four or five times, that should immediately indicate to us that this shar is no longer a shar tam, is automatically a shar mu'ad. But the problem is, that's not the case. Our Mishnah, as we're going to soon explain, is talking about an animal that is a shar tam and damages four or five times. How does that happen? There are a number of different approaches in the Rishonim. We're going to go with Rashi's approach because it just makes things much easier. It's Rashi, it's on the page, it's the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. But I just want you to know there are a number of ways of understanding this. Rashi explains, let's just read Rashi together. Ubekulon ayatam. Every time it caused damage, it was halachically categorized as a domesticated, tame animal. Dimishtaleim migufo. It will only pay from its value. Vehechi dami. How does something like this work? Says Rashi, gon shara shar v'nagach. It saw another shar, and it gored. V'ra shar v'lo nagach. It saw another one, and it was perfectly fine. It was calm. It didn't damage. Now, v'ra shar v'nagach. It sees another one, starts damaging. V'yachar negicha shnia, after it gored a second time, ra beis pa'amim, o gimel shar v'lo nagach. It stopped its pattern. So what's happening here is, we can't really establish that this animal is an animal that's out of control, because it seems like it's able to control itself. And Rashi goes on to explain that, technically speaking, and that we had this Maseches Nida as well, with regard to Vestos, any pattern that's developed by this animal can become a pattern that will turn it into a Shar Muad under these circumstances. So if it sees, if every other Shar that it sees it damages, then it's a shar mu'ad for every other shar. But if the pattern is sporadic, it's all over the place. Gores one, then it stops. Gores another one, it stops for a while, and then gores again. In other words, its pattern is unpredictable. It remains a shar tam. That's the way Rashi understands this Mishnah. It's an animal which is a shar tam and never developed any predictable pattern of how it's going to damage. Basically, it's out of control, but we don't know when it's out of control. So therefore, it can't be assumed that this guy's animal's out of control, because maybe he'll go a couple of weeks being perfectly tame. You can't expect this guy to treat his animal, which is a shar, like an out-of-control shar, if it goes extended periods of time without damaging. So that's what happened. This shar, ultimately, under the halachic category of shar tam, damaged four or five times. Now, what happens? It owes a lot of money to a lot of different people. But again, it's capped out at its value. So the animal is only worth 200, and I'm using the number 200 because that's what the Mishnah uses. So the first time it damages, and it damaged another shar worth 200, so it would have to pay 200. Now it damages again, it doesn't have enough money left in its value system to continue paying another 100 to somebody. So it continuously diminishes how much value is left in the shar to pay all the subsequent owners. Now, the Mishnah tells us, who gets the most money? Yishalim la'achron behem. The last person gets the money first. Vim yesh bo moser, if there's anything left in the value of the animal after you paid the first guy, yachzer shalafanav, you give money to the previously damaged person. Vim yesh bo moser, if there's anything left, yachzer shalafanav, give it to, in this case, it would be, if there are five animals that got damaged, it would be the third person. The achron, achron niskar, the guy whose animal got damaged last is the one who gets the most money. Divi Rabbi Meir, those are the words of Rabbi Meir. B'Shimin Omer, B'Shimin says, Shar Shava Masayim, he goes on to explain. If you have a shar that's worth 200, Shinagal Shar Shava Masayim, and it damaged an equally valued shar 200. Veina Nevela Yofa Klum, the animal's dead, so in this case it's clear. The animal's dead, and therefore has zero value. Maybe it really got all mutilated. It can't be used for anything. Nota Mana, the guy takes one mana, which is half. Vizenotel mana, and the owner takes a mana because they split it. Now, Chazar, Vinogach Shar Acher, he goes ahead and damages another one. Shava Masai, Ha'achronotel mana, the second guy gets a mana. Shelafanov, Zenotel Chamishim. This guy will take 50. Because what happens is, he's still splitting it. So the first guy gets half of his animal, which is 100. But then the second guy splits whatever's left of the value of that char, which is going to be 50. Again, Zenotachemishim says, means the owner gets 50, and the nizik, the other nizik, gets 50. Chazav anagach char achar, it goes ahead and gores another time. How much is that worth? Shava masayim, worth 200. Ha'achronoto mana, the last guy gets the money of Shalafanav, the guy gets, like we said before, in this case would be the second guy gets 50, Vashnaim Arishonim, and the two first guys will get Dinar Zav, will get 25. Dinar Zav is 25. So that's what's happening in the Mishnah. In other words, he's explaining that they're basically partners in all the damage, and he's explaining how this is going to play out. Now the Gemara is going to try to figure out who is the Tana of this Mishnah. Masnisen Mani. Who is, again, so what, let's just clarify, what is the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon? According to Rabbi Meir, the first guy will get the whole Messiah. According to Rabbi Shimon, he won't. Masnisen Mani. Who is the town of our Mishnah? Gemara tries to eliminate both Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Gemara says, Delok Rabbi Yishmael Udelok Rabbi Akiva. Who are Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva? The Rishmael and Rabbi Akiva are what we mentioned in the previous parak. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that whenever there's a damage of a shar tam, then the owner of the animal that caused damage and the owner of the animal that was damaged become partners in the ownership of the damaging animal. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't view it that way. Rabbi Shmuel just views this as a monetary obligation. You don't own my animal. My animal gores your animal, causes a damage, I owe you money. How much money? It's dependent on how much my animal's worth. But it's like a regular balchov, it's like a regular creditor. If someone owes somebody money, it's a monetary obligation. We'll see why that makes a difference. Because Ikra Rabbi Shmuel, if our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Bali Chovos Ninu, that's a regular financial obligation between the Mazik and the Nizik. Hi, Achron, Achron Niskar. Why are we saying that the last guy gets the most money? It should be the other way around. Rishon, Rishon Niskar. If I borrow $100 from somebody, and then I borrow $100 from somebody else, and $100 from a third person, now if my possessions are on lien to the people I borrowed money from, then my possessions first are on lien to the first guy I borrowed from. So he gets first dibs in it. He takes what he's owed, and if there's anything left, the second guy gets to collect. And then, if there's anything left after the second guy, the third guy gets to collect. Why is it that our Mishnah says the opposite? It says that it depends on whether there's anything left after the last guy collects. So therefore, we have to eliminate Rabbi Yishmael. Ik Rabbi Akiva, if we're telling our Mishnah follows Rabbi Akiva that says they're essentially partners, Darmar Tur de Shutvihu, that to become partners as soon as the animal damages. The owner of the damaged animal and the owner of the damaging animal become partners in the ownership of the damaging animal. Ha Yeshbo Moser. When the Mishnah says, if there's anything left, top of Lamavavam and base, Yaksha Shalafanov, why are we saying you give it back to the guy beforehand? Lukula mi boy. You should give it to everybody. Why are we saying only to the last guy? It should go to all of them. So Amarava Rav explains, La'olam, in truth, Rabbi Yishmael. We're following Rabbi Yishmael, who tells us that it's like a regular creditor, that it's like a Baal Chov, just a financial obligation. To Amar Baal Chovos Benu, that they are considered regular Baal Chovos. Udukal Kashalach, Achron, Achron, Niskar. Your question is, why is it that the last guy gets the most money, and only what's left after he collects, is that going to be divided among the previous owners of the damaged animals in order? Gemara says, let me explain to you what's going on here. Kagon shetafsu nizik ligvo semenu. What happened was, as soon as person one had his animal damaged, he grabbed a hold of the animal and said, I will not give this animal back to you until you pay up. Once you pay the value of what you owe me, so let's just use our case, animal A gores animal B, the owner of animal B says, you owe me 100 zuz. Why? Because, or one mana. You owe me one mana. Why? Because my animal was worth two mana. Your animal is worth two mana. Therefore, Chatzi Nezek, that you owe me is 100. I'm holding on to your animal until you pay up that money. Now what happens is, while he is holding that animal, the Nasel Lov Kishomer Sachar, this guy needs to realize that he doesn't have real ownership rights over this animal. He's holding it as a collateral until he gets paid. But I've got news for you. If you take somebody's animal as a collateral, you got to watch the animal. You can't just put it in your backyard and say, I'm leaving it here until you're going to pay me back. You got to take care of the animal. And if it damages, guess what? Now you're responsible. So if you wanted to take this guy's animal as collateral, you're a shomer sachar. You're like a paid worker. Venasalov kishomer sachar l'nizakin. Now what happens is, the animal damages a second time. Guess who's responsible? You. So now when the animal damages a second time, there's a third guy in the picture. He wants to collect. He goes back to the second guy and says, listen up, it was your animal that damaged me. And he's like, oh man, I tried to take this animal as a collateral to ensure I get paid. And now whatever was owed to me, I owe to the third guy. And so on and so forth. That's what happened. That's why we continuously push off the payments to the last guy, because the guy in the middle was the guy who was responsible. He forfeited his payment by virtue of the fact that he took the animal as a collateral. The Gemara says, hold on. If that's the case, Ihachi, Yeshbo Mosar Yaksa Shalafanov, why are you telling me if there's anything that's left over, it goes back to the previous guy? Yaksa Labaila Mibayale. It should go back to the owner. Remember, if you take the animal as collateral, you have essentially eliminated the owner's responsibility from this case. So now, if there's anything left, why are you taking what's left over? Give it back to the owner. It was his animal. He only owed you $100. You got your $100, but you forfeited it to the second guy. So that guy will get paid because it's now your animal that caused damage. But the first $100 should go back to the original owner. Amaravina. Vina explains, Hachi Katani. This is what it means to say. Im Yeshbo Mosar Benizakov Yaxer Shalafanov. What this means is, if the previous guy, which means, let's just use five people. There are five people who got damaged. If person four's damage was more than person five's damage, so that means when you split this animal in half, person five will get some money, but there still will be money left, then you could give it to the previous person. In other words, remember, the animal's worth 200. Okay? So now you'll split the value of that animal. If person five is only owed 80, then there's 20 left that doesn't go back to the owner. It goes back to the previous guy who got damaged. That's what the Gemara means. V'chein, ki yasa Rabin, when Rabin came, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Pashiyas, Shomrim, Noguba. This whole story is talking about a case where the Shomer was negligent in watching the animal, and therefore he ended up with a financial obligation on his plate. Gemara says, hold on. B'mayu Kimta, how have you established this case? Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that when an animal damages, we assume him to be a regular financial obligation. If that's the case, Ema Seifa. Let's continue reading. Bishimon Omer, Bishimon says, Shar Shava Masayim. If you have an animal who's worth 200, Shanagach Shar Shava Masayim, that damaged another Shar which is worth 200, Vein Hanaveli Yafa Klum. And the dead animal is worth zero, Zenoto Mana, Vizenoto Mana. Each guy will take one mana. In other words, the owner of the damaged animal takes one mana, and the other guy takes one mana. Chazar v'nagach, it went ahead and damaged another time. V'nagach shar achar, shavim asayim, again worth 200. Ha'achro notu mana shalafanav, zenotu chamishim, zenotu chamishim. We read this in the Mishnah. The previous guy, we'll call him person number four, he'll get 50. Chazar v'nagach shar shavim asayim. If it went and damaged another one worth Masayim 200, Ha'achronotam Mana, again, last guy takes, in this case it's going to be, we're up to three now. The first of the three gets a Mana. The third guy gets a Mana. The Fshalafanav, the second guy gets 50. Mishnayim Arishonim, and the first two are going to get a Dinar Zav, they'll split a Dinar Zahav, which is 25. Asur Mekiva, that seems to explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva, because we're splitting it, we're continuously splitting it half-half. If we're talking about a financial obligation, why are you splitting it? It only makes sense to split it when there's a partnership. If we're talking about a financial obligation, pay up as much as you can. Also, Rabbi Akiva, the number two, the Shutfihu. Gemara says, Reish Rabbi Shmuel, the safe for Rabbi Akiva. Is it possible that you're going to have the Reish of being Rabbi Shmuel? Like we explained, it's financial obligation. And the reason why the last guy gets paid is because the guy ultimately took the animal as a collateral. Now he's a Shomer Sachar. Hold on a second. Comes out, the first half is Rabbi Shmuel, the second half is Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, Amri, responded and said, in, yes, to Amrle Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel told Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, this was the name that was given to Rabbi Yehuda. There's two ways of understanding it throughout Shas. Either Shinina refers to Rabbi Yehuda as a very sharp one, which meant he's a very sharp person, it was a praise of his intelligence, or it described Rabbi Yehuda's teeth, which were very sharp. And he said to him, Shvok Masnisin, just leave the Mishnah, V'tabasroi, and take it outside, which basically meant, yes, you could have Reish Rabbi Shmuel, the Sefer Rabbi Akiva. It's possible to have one Mishnah, which divides between two different Tanai. The Gemara continues, skipping the parentheses. Tanan Asam. We learned elsewhere. Hatokea lechavero. Somebody is tokea to his friend. Tokea lechavero can mean one of two things. We find throughout Shas the word toka can mean that someone hits something with a lot of strength. It gets very tight. Like we had in Hilchas Shabbos, there is a gezeira sometimes when it comes to binyan, where for tekiah, when someone makes something very tight. So either it means like a heavy strike, so someone strikes somebody in his ear, we're talking about, or it means literally he made a very loud noise. So it can mean screamed in the person's ear, yelled in his ear, or he blew a whistle in his ear, or literally took a horn and went to the guy's ear, blew it in his ear. The bottom line is, what happens over here, we're going to have to assume there's no physical damage. This comes up again later in the Masechta. We'll deal with it later over there. But the idea over here with Tokeh Lechavero is there's no immediate physical damage. In other words, if it's talking about striking somebody where there's an immediate physical damage, that's always going to be a case where the person is chayv b'chamisha dvarim. He has to pay nezek for the damage, tsar, the pain, ripoy, the doctor bills, sheves, unemployment, and boshes, compensate him for the embarrassment he has to sustain by having that wound. We're talking about a case here where there is damage, but it's more like a traumatic type of damage. So the traumatic type of damage is either not immediate or it's not recognizable, but there's boshes. We'll still have to pay boshes, and there's a fine. So Tanan Hasim, we learned elsewhere, Hatokeh Lechavero. somebody who, let's just translate it as he yelled in somebody's ear. Say, no sin lo sela, he's got to give him a compensation of a sela. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishum, Rabbi Yossi Yaglili, mana, he gives him a mana. In other words, the penalty for yelling in someone's ear unexpectedly is a mana. So the Gemara tells us a story. Hu Gavra, there was a guy, Ditaka Lechavre. He went, he did this to his friend, he yelled in his ear. Shalchei Rabtuvya Barmasna Kamei, Rav Yosef. Rabtuvya Barmasna sent him before Rav Yosef, and he wanted to know, when he pays him a sela, does he pay him a sela tsuri tanan, or sela medina tanan? Does he pay him a sela tsuri, which is an objectively higher value, or does he pay the local sela, which was only 1/8 of the value? It makes a huge difference, as you're getting paid one sela, which is a sela tsuri is a significant amount of money, but a sela medina is pretty cheap. It doesn't really hold all that much money. Amarle tinisua. He said, we learned it in the Mishnah. Which Mishnah? Our Mishnah. As it says, Vishnaim Arishonim Dinar Zav. The first two get a Dinar Zav. Oh, I skipped something. No. Vishnaim Arishonim Dinar Zav. Visaka Daitach. If you're telling me that an hour that we're talking about, Tani Tana Sela Medina, our Tana is referring to a Sela Medina, which is the local coin, which is much smaller. Niflog Venisni Atres Arsela. Why don't we continue just dividing it into even smaller denominations? In other words, there's much more room to work with it if we're talking about a Sela Medina. The Sela Medina is worth so much less, so therefore, you could continue to divide it. In other words, just take it into dollars and cents, we could understand why when you reach the point of like a dollar, you start saying this guy gets a dollar, that guy gets a dollar. Start saying this guy gets 50 cents, this guy gets 25 cents, this guy gets 12 cents, this guy gets 6 cents. You know, at a certain point in time, you understand, you start ending it. But if you're talking about a sela tsuri, then continue. Sorry. If you're talking about a sela medina, which divides into smaller denominations, then continue. Amar Leh, you said to him, Tana kiruchla, is the Tana like a merchant that goes around and listeni velezel, that he goes around and continues like coming up with prices? In other words, you get the point, right? Because you have to actually say, you know, if you buy one, it's $10. Buy two, so then I give it to you for $9. Buy three. Now, at a certain point in time, he's not a salesman. The Mishnah gives you the halacha. You'll figure it out if you give every single case. So Gemara says, my havila. Ultimately, what's the halacha? What became of this? Gemara says, Pashtua, Mihad Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav. We were able to understand whether it was a Sela Medina or a Sela Tsuri from the following story. He says, Kol Kesef Amar Batorah, anytime there is a biblical, a financial obligation that comes Midor Raisa, it's Kesef Tsuri, it's going to be from the higher type of coin, which is Kesef Tsuri, and the obligation is much more. Bishal Devrayim, if it's a rabbinic obligation, it's going to be Kesef Medina, it's only going to be the lower valuation. So this is actually comes up in a few places. One of the most common places where this comes up is in a ksuba. We learned that ksuba is not too long ago. And we know that there's a ksuba. The ksuba says in it, techazu lechi midoraisa. Now that's a financial obligation midoraisa. Whether or not ksuba is midoraisa, it's a very interesting discussion. But generally speaking, ksuba of a besula is midoraisa. And therefore, that valuation of the masayim is going to be based off of kesef tsuri. The ksuba of an almana or a grusha is midrabana. In those cases, therefore, the value of the way that you're going to evaluate the mana, which sounds like it's only half of masayim, is really going to be worth much less because it's a rabbinic obligation. Amar Leh, Hahu Gavra. Now let's get back to this story. Hayol upalga dezuzahu. So this guy, remember we had a story before where there was a guy who got yelled at in his ear. So he wanted his money, he wanted his compensation for this embarrassment he sustained by having someone yell in his ear. He ultimately went back and forth to find out how much is he obligated to pay. He said to him, all you get is the Sela Medina. The guy said, Lo Be'ina, Neis Vilania. That's what you're giving me. You're giving me like this $2. That's what I get. Go ahead. Give the money to the aniyim. I don't want to have $2. Rashi says, Hail Pagazuzahu, it's the third to last line, Mechaivle Vesulo, Kasifli Milsa, Lemishkale. It's embarrassing for me to accept this kind of money. That's how you compensate me with like a couple bucks. Yeshakayach, put it in the pushka. Now Hadar, afterwards, he was thinking, Amar lay, you know what, Nes Vinelli, Ezel Va'avri Bein Afshai. You know what, give it to me. I'll go out and I'll go hang out outside and I'll buy myself something to relax. The guy's kind of worked up. You know, imagine, he's sitting there outside, somebody walks over to him and just starts yelling in his ear. He gets a little scared, he jumps up, he's upset, he's worked up, goes with this guy to go get himself a couple bucks for some type of financial penalty. He finds that it's worth nothing, gets upset for it. So, you know what? I wouldn't mind going out and, I don't know, I'll buy myself something. I'll go to the store. I'll go buy myself a lemonade and I'll relax for a few minutes. I can't buy all that much more, but at least I'll get myself a soda. I'll buy a nice coffee. I don't know, get an ice cream cone. Whatever it is, I'll be able to just chill out outside a little bit. But they said to him, Amar Leir of Yosef, sorry, kvar zachu be'aniyim. You said it goes to tzedakah, and therefore, you can't have it now. Why? V'yafal gav, delek aniyim hacha. Even though there are no actual physical aniyim here, anan, yad aniyim anan. We are the extension of the aniyim. Now, if Rashi tells us, Rav Yosef havigabai b'shilei achova, he happened to have found himself in the presence of a Rav, who happened to have also been the one who ran the local tzedakah organization. So he said, listen, I'm the guy who runs the local tzedakah organization. I already donated it to Avas Yisrael. So I'm sorry, the money is gone. Now it happens to be, there's a very interesting sugi here in Tosis. We have some time, so we'll just start with it. Tosis asks, Yom Tomar, below Yad Aniyim, it's the last Tosis on the page, let's say he wasn't the guy who ran the local tzedakah organization. Nami Mechayev Tzedakah Ba'amira. As soon as a person pledges verbally that they're giving money to tzedakah, he'd be obligated right away. When a person articulates he's giving money to tzedakah, it's actually a very serious commitment. And this is actually important. A person has money, and he promises to give a certain amount of money to tzedakah. It's an obligation right there. The pledge is binding. The Gemara Sotosis answers, he says, In other words, Tosfos is explaining that when, let's just continue, in other words, in this case, he didn't have the money yet. In other words, if the person would have been referring to money in his bank account and say, I'm pledging $5 to tzedakah, in such a case, if he has $5 in his bank account, he would have to give that money to tzedakah, even though there are no actual aniyim there. He didn't specify which ani. He didn't necessarily specify which $5. But the bottom line is, he made a verbal pledge, he's going to give $5, and he has $5, that is an obligation. But in this case, the money wasn't paid yet. The guy told him, you're entitled to a payment, to a minimal payment, to a nominal fee that you're going to get. So he then, at that point in time, went ahead and pledged that money. But that money doesn't exist yet. It's not money that was paid. So therefore, from a tzedakah perspective, he wouldn't have been chayiv yet. But because he happened to have found himself in the presence of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef was the Yad Aniyim, in such a case, now he found himself in trouble. How do we know this concept of Yad Aniyim? The Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Yisomim Einan Tzrichim Prozbol. Top of Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph, Yisomim don't need a Prozbol. What's the idea of a Prozbol? We did this not too long ago by Shemitah. At the end of Shemitah, all financial obligations ultimately are erased. They're deleted. Yeah, so all financial obligations, except financial obligations that were given over to Beis Din. So now, Yisomim, whose money is being managed by the local Beis Din, don't need a prosbul. Why? Because the Beis Din is their Yad Aniyim. They don't need a prosbul. Why? Because the Beis Din handles their finances. Rabbi Kiva Beis Dino, Avin Shei Yisomim Hayu, and Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino, Avin Shei Yisomim Hayu, and therefore they did not have to require any of the Yisomim to fill out a prosbul because they were managing their finances. We see the concept that when someone has an extended hand taking care of their money, it's as if they're already zochin. One quick story before we finish. Hanan Bisha. Hanan, who was not a really good guy, he was a Bisha. That was, he was called. I don't know how, why it was appropriate to call him Chanan Bisha, but that's what everyone called him. I guess he was a guy who made trouble. We'll see in a minute what he did. Takalei Lahu Gavra. He went ahead and he yelled in this guy's ear. Asala Kamedra of Huna. They brought him before Rav Huna. Amalei Zil Havli Palga de Zuza. Give him a half a Zuz. Havli Zuza Maka. He had this coin that was all rubbed out. It was a coin in bad shape. Boy Lemisvale Mine Palga de Zuza. So he went to him and said, listen, here's a Zuz. I owe you half. I'm giving you this Zuz. Give me change. Guy said, Lo Havi Mishtakale. I don't want your rubbed out Zuz. Give me a good one. Go to the bank, get yourself a decent coin. I'm not giving you change from this kind of coin. So you say, you're not going to give me change? Takalei achrina. He yelled in his ear again. V'yavin alei. So now I owe you a halzuz. Here, take this one. Okay? Now, why does the Gemara tell us this story? What kind of story is this? First of all, why can't you just give him the halzuz and say, you know what? All right, I owe you half a zuz. Take the whole thing. So you have to yell in the guy's ear again for? What's with this guy? It's bizarre. So I looked around a little bit. It seems like, first of all, the understanding is, we wanted to bring out the point that if it's valid currency, it can be used. As long as it's legal tender, even if it's not in good shape, it can be used. That was the reason why I brought the story down. Now, why did he yell in his ear again? I don't know why he yelled in his ear. He's not a very good guy, but I think there's a big Musar Haskel in this story. Sometimes you might be the victim of someone else's crime. Maybe you might be in the right and this guy might be in the wrong. But don't take advantage of it. The guy came to you to pay you. It's worth the money. Accept the payment and walk on. We saw these two stories, one after the next. The guy starts getting particular. You know what? It's not right. A guy should not go over to you and yell in your ear. Guy definitely should not be bothering you. The guy owes you money. Take the money and walk away. Don't start with all these theatrics. Oh, that's all it is? Give it to Aniyim. A minute later, you come back. You know what? I actually would like to buy myself an iced coffee. I could use a couple bucks to buy an iced coffee. Then you start realizing, oh, you gave the guy attitude first, but you know what? Now you get nothing. Same thing over here. The guy was offered compensation for the damage. Maybe the guy shouldn't have yelled in your ear. Maybe he should have paid you with better money. You're right. At the end of the day, you want to stoop down to his level and fight with him about what type of currency, you know what's going to happen? He'll yell in your ear a second time, and then you'll be stuck taking this anyway. Take what you get and move on. Don't put yourself into the victim category. You be the better one in this case, and walk away and allow the case to be settled. Afreilach and Chanukah.